Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. It's Friday, January 24th. Today we have a guest reading for us. His name is John Phillips. John is a fairly new member at Mountain Brook Baptist. He was invited by a friend. He may tell you that story later in the podcast. And we're so grateful for his life and ministry and look forward to him reading God's Word to us. And then he and I will sit down and talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, John, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Our first scripture reading today is from Genesis chapter 41, verses 25 through 40. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads are blighted by east wind and 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God is showing Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them 7 years of famine will arise. And all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of famine following, for it will be very severe." And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because this is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in their cities. Then the food shall serve as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Insomuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." Our second reading is Matthew 5, 38 through 48. You have heard it said, "An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile with him, go two. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow, from him do not turn away. You have heard it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Our third reading today comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, verses 13 and 14. "My son, eat honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to your taste, shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there is a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off."
Thank you so much, John, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. You have joined us in this past year, so I don't know a ton about your background. Will you talk more about where you grew up and other things about your childhood?
Yeah, and it's been a joy to be at Mountain Brook Baptist. I've really enjoyed jumping in feet first to the church and getting involved in the music ministry. And, you know, music's been a great part of my life, but I didn't grow up in a family of musicians. I grew up in a farm about 20 minutes north of Atmore in southwest Alabama, not too far from the casino. And I have a sister and a half brother. She is a mom who works for the Creek Indian Tribe, and my little brother is in grad school at UCLA in finance. My mom and dad are divorced. They divorced when I was a senior in high school. And we grew up in a small little church called Huxford Baptist Church. Lots of families there. A lot of sweet memories of Sunday school teachers and grown-ups in the church who cared about us and cared about our well-being and our spiritual journey. And, you know, seeing that around here at Mountain Brook reminds me of those fond memories of growing up in Huxford and the food and the fellowship and the just things that grab a young kid's imagination that still carry with me today.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Troy State, not Troy State anymore, University, and I actually majored in music education there, ended with a degree in music studies. And from there, I spent 2 years at Auburn, didn't finish my degree there, but I started teaching, and then kind of hit a couple of jobs in the meantime at Greenville Middle School, Thomasville High School, and then way up in DeKalb County near Fort Payne at Ider. And that took me to Jacksonville State to finish my master's degree.
Go Gamecocks.
Yes, go Gamecocks. Not South Carolina Gamecocks, though. sorry, Wayne. This has just been a journey because about 10, 11 years ago, I was asked to interview at Birmingham City Schools for a music teaching position and ended up there and have enjoyed living in Birmingham ever since.
So have you always loved music?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the thing that got me into wanting to do band was when our church invited some musicians to come play one Christmas. And one of the girls, or actually it was the pastor's daughter, Janae, played clarinet. And I fell in love with the clarinet. And so that's what I wanted to play in school. And that didn't happen.
I was about to say, I think you play a different instrument. Tell us what your instrument of choice is now.
I play the tuba. I actually started on the flute. You would think those are really big differences, but you still use a lot of air. And that's one reason why my director wanted me on that. Had nothing to do with me being a bigger, taller guy that could handle the weight of the tuba at all. Never. total sarcasm for those of you that can't see me right now.
How tall are you, John?
I am about 6'3" and about 280, not all flab.
Nope.
But
pure muscle.
Yeah, totally. But it was a good thing. I fell in love with the sound of the bass line. Since then, I've learned how to enjoy melodic tuba playing, which some of you got to enjoy at the 9 o'clock service right before Christmas. And it's always a treat to share that with people who've never heard melodic tuba for the first time. And I think a lot of people got joy out of that. And I think it really invited people into worship in a new way. So that was really cool. I enjoyed hymn singing early on in the church. That was my first introduction to the organ. We had an organist who always played. The first hymn of the day was "To God Be the Glory." And we would play it and sing it. And that was our call to worship every Sunday. "To God be the glory, great things he hath done." And
well, that brings me to my next question. Yeah. How did you come to faith? I know you were formed by the people in your church, but was it a journey of coming to faith in Jesus? Or was there a specific event where you came to knowledge of Jesus as Savior?
Well, it was a little bit of both. Grew up in a very Christian family. My mom, extremely faithful, always read Bible stories to us, always sang those songs that you would hear down in the children's wing, "Jesus loves me, Jesus loves little children." The songs that grew my faith and stuck with me, even singing the books of the Bible in children's church at such a young age, really imprinted the earliest bits of theology of the love of Christ and how Christ loves us all just deep into my heart. And when I was 4 or 5 years old, my mom and I can't quite agree on that. she said that I came to her one night, because I certainly don't remember anything leading up to it. And I said, "Mom, I saw that Miss Carol, one of my mom's friends, got baptized, and I asked her about it." And she said, "Well, you know, that's what people do when they want to ask Jesus to come into their heart." And I said, "Well, I want to do that." And so in my bedroom, underneath my dinosaur sheets, one night I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart. So kids, Jesus loves you, and he will come to you even at a young age, and we will walk with you all the way through that journey, because that can be a very long journey, and you need people to walk with you through that journey with Jesus. Because when you're young, it's easy to follow Jesus, and sometimes when you get older, you don't see just how long you've walked with Jesus and how sometimes Jesus has carried you through crazy, unbelievable times that you would never think that you could do by yourself.
Has there been a pastor or a preacher that you've looked to again and again for sermons or insight?
When I was young, again, I had this hunger for God even from a young age, and there was this pastor that came on Rejoice Radio out of Pensacola named J. Vernon McGee. And the thing that he said that always stuck with me is that he wanted to put the scripture on the lowest shelf so that anyone could understand it. And I would listen to him, and even though I didn't understand everything he said, the idea that God loves us, that God has a plan for us, that God is working in our lives to accomplish a plan that we will never fully see until we get to heaven was the through line. And he would always talk about God's plan throughout the Old Testament, Jesus's love in the New Testament. And even to this day, my teaching philosophy is put the cookies on the lowest shelf so that everyone can have them.
I forgot to ask you a little bit about your hobbies and interests. So I want people to know you a little bit more. I know there's music, but what else are you interested in?
Well, if I'm not immersing my life in music, which happens a lot, let's face it, I do play in community bands. I play in my college alumni band. I sing, but I also like to play Nintendo games. I like board games.
What's your favorite Nintendo game?
Well, right now I'm finishing up Mario and Luigi's Brothership. That's been fun. I've always been a Mario and Luigi fan. Got to give a shout out to my favorite bros. And I also enjoy The Legend of Zelda. Those adventures of Link, you just...
Good memories with my brother staying up way too late playing Zelda.
Oh, yes.
Okay, you mentioned also, as far as board games go, what is one of your favorites?
I think one of my favorites that I like to pull out is Kings of Tokyo. It's a more modern board game, but you basically just kind of collect these cards and items, and you can do these little tricks to kind of get the most territory. It's really fun. It's not quite like Monopoly or the Game of Life, but some of these more modern board games just have a lot of interesting twists and turns that make me smile, and you know, you kind of get a chance to show your personality a little bit more than you would in a standard board game.
Okay, let's do a few more get to know yous very quickly. Beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Do you drink coffee or tea?
Coffee.
And what kind of coffee?
Well, right in front of us, I have a mocha.
Ooh, a mocha.
Yes.
Double shot of caffeine, or how do you order the drink at Starbucks?
I normally just order it hot because two shots of espresso might see me climbing a ceiling. Just saying.
And to get away from it all, what do you do?
If I have to get away from it all, I am immersing myself in either a video game or in music.
When you think about God's character, what is one of the characteristics that stands out to you or an image that continually returns to you?
God has a wonderfully crazy sense of humor, Mary. Like, have you ever just stopped and thought about all the things that God has let you go through for his glory? And every time, it just seems like, God, you're getting a laugh out of this, aren't you? Like, you can't stop laughing, can you? And I love that about God, because could you imagine a humorless God? Just a God who sat on a throne and was like, yes, no, no, I can't do that, because I have humor, and if I'm made in God's image, then I can only imagine that God has a sense of humor. And my life's verse is one that I think really attests to God's humor, and definitely attests to the way that God has worked in my life. It's Job 37:5. Not a verse that we hear very often, but it says that God's voice thunders in mysterious ways. He speaks in ways we cannot understand. And I've always change that out for works because it fits in the logical sense, even though that's not the correct translation, but it matches because every turn of my life has been something where it's not something I would have planned. It's not, you know, if you had said, John, what's your perfect plan for your life? I could name 5,000 things that were not perfect. Losing a job, being told I wasn't good enough for this or that, or that, you know, I'm second rate, whatever. You know, I think as many times as it took Thomas Edison to perfect the light bulb, it's going to take God 1,001 more times that 1,000 to finish the work he's done in me and for everybody to get the laugh that they deserve. Because without humor, our lives are boring, they're awful, and if people can only enjoy humor as a respite from the ravages of the curse of sin, then why not embrace it fully? And I do believe that God's gift of humor is one that is one of those characteristics that we don't think about very often because it's not explicitly written into the Word, but we see it through His creation and we see it through the working out of His plan in our lives.
John, it has been a pleasure talking with you today. Would you end our podcast by commenting on the scriptures that you read? And perhaps, since you are musical, maybe you would even end the podcast with a song?
Well, you know, Mary, I can't get away from music. I think we've made that abundantly clear today. And I just so happen to have a wonderful mentor in that space. Many of you know Dr. Bryant Strain, who used to be the minister at Brookwood Baptist. When I moved to Birmingham, he was the associate minister at First Baptist Church, my previous church. And he just couldn't help himself but to include a hymn in his sermons. And as I was meditating on the scriptures and seeing how they apply to me and what, you know, what I could take away, I did put them in Google like a good researcher would. Gotta be a college professor. And it came up with this connection that we need to be prepared, as we see there in Genesis, and that the wisdom that God provided Joseph is sweet to us. We see that in the book of Proverbs. And that in these preparations and in using wisdom, you know, there are times when we are going to be mistreated, misaligned, and even vilified. And we have to respond with godly humility, mercy beyond human capability, and a love that only Christ Himself can give when we ask God to provide for them their daily bread, as Jesus showed us in His model prayer. And, you know, again, I was trying to find a hymn that would speak to this because we have passed down theology and scripture through the hymnody since time immemorial. And as I was looking and trying to find a hymn that just matched perfectly, I came across one that has really meant a lot to my mom's family. My mom's brother married into a family of musicians, and a hymn that speaks to them is the old hymn, "He Leadeth Me." And if we have time, Mary, I'd love to share it with you.
Yes, please.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He